Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens, and joining me this week, we have two-thirds of the beautiful FM team. We have the United City FM, and we have Y Callum. Hello, everybody. Kev, how are you this morning, friend?
I see what's happening here.
He's doing a sneaky on me. He's doing a sneaky trick because somebody broke their microphone when we pressed record 5 minutes ago.
Oh, that was joyous. Thank you for that, Rich. I'm really happy to be here. It's a lovely morning. It's lovely to see your two smiley, happy faces. Where else would I rather be? Well, I mean, I've got a dinner to get to in about an hour and a half, so there. But other than that, you two, lovely. Great to see you.
Exactly. It's lovely to be back as well. It's lovely to be back. Obviously, last week, Callum and I weren't here. And it was the first, I think it's the first time that I've missed a record that's actually happened in a long, long, long time. Obviously, last week, here's an exciting look behind the podcasting curtain for you. We weren't going to record an episode because Callum and I were both away. Jeb is obviously in Germany working dead hard. And we thought, you know what, we'll take a week. And then SI had the audacity to drop a huge update on the future of Football Manager. And I get back from a lovely weekend away camping. They're like, oh, by the way, we've recorded a podcast and edited it for you. So I didn't even have to do anything. This week, they're making me put the hard yards in, but it's absolutely fine. I missed you terribly last week, Kev. And Callum.
As did I.
Hello, mate. I missed you terribly too. How are you, Sunshine Kid?
I'm really good, thank you, Rich. I haven't been on for 2 weeks. I was almost bordering on having to put a tweet out about a hiatus, I think. I'm back. I've seen lots of castles. I've bought a pram. I've done all the things. They weren't related. I'm really good. And it's been a pleasure. It's taken us ages to actually click record because we've just enjoyed having a chat this morning. So we've actually started recording later than we usually do. But that's all fine. Despite the fact that I'm really hungry, that Kev has mentioned his meal, I'll try and make it through the next hour.
Thank you, mate. Consummate professional, as always. Rich,
where were you last week? For goodness sake, what was happening? Why weren't you here? And are you okay?
I'm fine. My wonderful wife, Mrs. O, informed me a few weeks ago that she had drunkenly booked a weekend away camping for us and some friends. I was in a tent. I was in a tent with my family and one of my friends and his family as well, having a wonderful time getting hacked to death in the ankles by my friend's son because he insisted on playing football with me for hours and hours and hours, which was absolutely fine because technically it counts as training for the charity game at the end of the month. So that was an absolute treat. But it was lovely. I did miss you. Sunday morning, I was just sat around having breakfast with my family and my friend's family, and just looked up and I was like, anybody opinions on Segundo Volantes? Anything? And then just like my son just looked up with a mouthful of pano chocolate. I was like, what's a Segundo Volante? And I was like, oh, it's fine, mate. Don't worry. You crack on with that.
Pretty much the response you'd get from me as well, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we talking about food again? For heaven's sake, we've got the meal and pattern shop.
I always end up talking about food. It happens 3 times a day on my stream, for goodness sake.
It happens.
Just what we do.
Yeah, exactly. We were going to start with a save update, but it's just going to be, here's what I've had for breakfast.
One of my lovely viewers even chucked a load of subs my way because I said it would take a load of subs to make me eat a particular sandwich that he created on stream. And so I ended up having to do it last week. It was quite interesting.
It was a unique
experience. I wouldn't necessarily choose to do it again specifically on that one, but it was fine, you know.
Hey, talk to us about the sandwich, Kev. Talk to us about the sandwich.
It was grilled peach, which is a weird thing to put in a sandwich in a way. Goat's cheese and fried egg. Now, the thing that I would say about it is that none of those are particularly standout flavors. So there was nothing there that was particularly like impactful. They were all perfectly fine together. If you like the sweet, savory kind of thing, which I do, it's all right. The thing that I didn't quite get was the actual, just the texture of the peach having been grilled in the midst of it. It just didn't quite work for me as a texture thing, but I'm not a massive cooked fruit fan anyway, as a general rule. So other than that, it was perfectly fine because all of those flavors are actually pretty chilled out anyway. So yeah, fine, all good.
I did not see that sandwich coming. Like each ingredient that came, I was like, whoa, grilled peach? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Oh my word.
It was like fine.
Yeah. It sounds like a really wet sandwich. I think consistency wise for me, probably not the one.
Said the word
never apologize.
No, I've done it again.
Accurate description of accurate description of the sandwich, I think. There you go. That is a soggy sounding sandwich, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. And hey, for an amount of Twitch subs, I will also eat weird sandwiches. Just going to put it out there. Yeah. I will shill myself.
Don't step on my stuff. Thank you. You keep yourself on a live stream. Thank you very much for a certain amount of subs. That's what Rich Owens does. That's the content we come to love.
I say we cross them together. Like we come up with a terrifying sandwich for me. Like you open it up and there's like a vampire and they're like, can we make that happen? Can we make that?
Am I in some kind of fever dream, or have we actually started recording a podcast? I'm not quite sure what's going on.
We never talk about football manager on the Football Manager podcast.
That is true. Yeah. We don't.
We've never talked about it.
No. It never comes up. Contact. We were reading some reviews on Charts Boulevard podcast, and my favourite one is like it's a really well put together podcast, but they don't really talk about Footy Manager. And I'm like,
we're proving them right. We are proving them right.
We are absolutely proving them right. So you are welcome. You are welcome, American podcast listener who wrote that review. And I hope you're still listening. And I hope you've enjoyed the last 5 minutes.
Indeed.
Perfect. Perfect. Shall we balance the books, fellas? Should we talk about actual Football Manager?
Okay.
Sounds dodgy, but okay. Let's do it. I'll let you go.
Let's break new ground together, shall we? Let's crack on. We like to start with a save update. You know this to be true. We know this to be true. We start the podcast just what we've been up to recently. And fellas, I do apologize. It's my turn. So immediately go and get a hat, put it on, and just hold on to it, cling on to it, because there have been developments. There have actually been developments in the Scandinavian Triple Crown.
It's the only hat I had available.
That is quite something to have to hand in the middle of July.
I'm always ready.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
Again,
ho, 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 I guess.
yeah. For the benefit of the audio listeners, Callum has just put on a Christmas hat. Again, if there's one thing we rely on far too heavily on this predominantly audio-based podcast, it is physical comedy.
Yeah, and what did we have last week? We had about 40 watches on our YouTube channel, about 400 on our audio, and we do visual gags.
We just do visual gags. You know what? It's... Sorry, audience, we're not necessarily catering to, but hey, the big one. Everyone, Kev was pretending to wear a hat. Callum got a Christmas hat out on. I'm still wearing a hat, so it's all fine. Scandinavia, Triple Crown, it's been happening. My goodness, it has been happening. I think last time we talked, I think we were just starting season two. We had done a transfer window. I was feeling confident because form started well in season two with Rosenborg in Norway. Can I be honest with you, fellas? Form started well and it continued. We hit stride early doors. The football was nice. We had a really, really good transfer window. There is a key metric to managing in countries like Norway that we'll talk about in a little while. But for wider sense, good transfer windows are essential in that country. And I had one. And we were just playing really, really nice football. Braut Bruns, Mini Haaland, was scoring for fun, which helped because if there's one thing we've really struggled with Rosenborg in season one, it was scoring goals. So we started 3 wins from our opening 3 games, top of the league, 9 points. And long story short, that's pretty much where we stayed. We just kept on winning games. We were grinding out results where we needed to. We were turning over teams when we needed to. We had a really, really good Norwegian Cup run as well. We got very, very lucky season two because we drew a lot of lower league Norwegian teams in those rounds. And if you've ever played PvP, if you've ever beaten somebody like 8 or 9 nil in PvP, squad morale goes through the roof, which is such a boost. And it was like having those fixtures. It was like having a PvP fixture against somebody who's playing a random tactic with no goalkeeper midway through your season, because you go out, you smash a team 8 or 9 nil, morale is sky high, and you go back into the difficult league games carrying that morale. And that's exactly what happened to us. We went out, beat a third tier team. The week before, we had one of the main competitors in the league, like Bodø/Glimt. Bodø/Glimt are the bogey team. If you've ever managed in Norway, you will know this to be true. They are ever so good. We beat a team 7-0 in the Norwegian Cup, played Bodø/Glimt next fixture, and took them apart 3-1 at home. Absolutely sensational scenes. Can't remember the last time I beat them convincingly in a Norwegian save. It was fantastic. Everyone played well. Mini Haaland played well. My defense were fantastic. Everything's looking good. And again, it just set a precedent for the rest of the season, because we just kept winning games. Like, momentum, I've never seen momentum like it. We were defending well. We were scoring goals. It was absolutely fantastic. Dropped a couple of points here and there, but nothing too terrifying. Unfortunately, Bodø/Glimt didn't have the best season. I say unfortunately. It was quite a bonus. They kind of stunk up the gaff. They drew a lot of games. They turned into Pictionary experts.
I don't know how you managed that, Rich, because when I was there, they did not do that very often at all.
No, it was. I was very, very lucky. And I think the key reason was, is what I was alluding to earlier, transfer windows in Norway are killers. Because if you've ever managed in Norway, you'll know most of the bigger clubs, and even the mid-tier clubs, have got a couple of absolute superstars in their team. Like young prospects who might not necessarily get first-team football at bigger European clubs, but are guaranteed minutes in your team. Odsbal Club being the prime example. They've got Jorgsen, the central midfielder, who I've picked up in the network save for Leicester City. They've also got Silva Ars. Sounds like saying arse, but it's Norwegian, so it's not. Both really, really, really strong young prospects. They are basically your starting central midfield pairing if you're managing an Odsbal Club. In the save, after I left, both of them got bought by Juventus about a month after I left Odsbal Club, and their midfield never recovered. I signed Odd's starting goalkeeper. They never signed a suitable replacement. Odd nearly got relegated season two because they never replaced. Similar thing happened to Bodø/Glimt. They lost two or three first team players and they didn't bring in like for like replacements. Mm. So they were weakened in their midfield and they were weakened in their defence, which is why they were conceding a lot more goals than they did the season before. I was very lucky with my transfer window. We said it was good. Every first team player I sold, I managed to bring in a like-for-like replacement. So somebody who was as good as, if not a little bit better than, the player that I'd sold, which in Norway is not the easiest thing in the world to do because it's not the highest profile league. It's harder to attract the slightly bigger name players to your club. So you've got to be very, very, you've got to be a bit sneaky about who you bring in. You've got to be very careful in the transfer market. With a challenge like the Scandi Triple Crown, if you're just doing a longer-term Scandi save, if you're trying to do like a build a nation, for example, it's fine. You take that money, you reinvest into your youth system, and you bring the youth players through. And after a few seasons, you will probably have a similar replacement to the one that you sold. With the Scandi Triple Crown, I'm trying to get out of the country as quickly as I possibly can. So throw a little bit of money at it, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. But I was very, very lucky. The players that I signed were as good as, if not in most cases, better than the ones that I had sold. And I think in the long run, that's what carried me through the rest of the season. Bodø/Glimt dropped off, but then, you know, when they disappeared, Strømsgodset just turned into the best footballing team in the country as well, because they were matching me result for result for result the whole way through the season. They were the first team I lost to during the league campaign, and I just couldn't pull away from them. They were matching me game for game. And my goal difference was very good because my defence were very good and I wasn't conceding the same amount of silly goals as I was the season before. Season one with Rosenborg, I was just leaking goals left, right and centre. But we managed to tidy up the defence a little bit, strengthen where we needed to. And it just goes to show, if you can stop conceding goals, you're going to win a lot more games. Because if you're drawing 1-1, 2-2 here and there, those draws instantly turn into wins because you're just not conceding the silly goals you were previously. And that's kind of, again, that helped me enormously. So I'm matching Strømsgodset result for result for result. And then they just forgot how to win football games for a month. They think they picked up 2 points from a possible 12, and suddenly there was a gap at the top of the table. And I was like, suddenly I'm like 5 points clear. This is amazing. And then suddenly after that, all the results, every time Storm Gudset or Bodø/Glimt played a team that were kind of, you know, fifth, sixth in the league, they were dropping points again. Suddenly I find myself 8 games to go, and I think I was 13 points clear at the top of the league. I'm like, this feels like it could happen. But suddenly they're like, hey, a win here, if results go your way, you could seal it today. I'm like, let's go out there and get it done, boys. And then the wheels didn't necessarily fall off, but the screws keeping the hubcaps on started to become a little bit loose. Suddenly I'm picking up injuries. I think in my run-in, Kevin and I were talking before we hit record today, I don't think I had a fully fit starting 11 for the last 2-3 months of the season, because I was just losing players left, right and centre. My star centre-back, American hero, Chester Moist Muffins, he did his hamstring with 3 months to go. So he missed the run in. My other very, very good centre back, Augustinsson, who I turned from a left back into a centre back, he did his cruciate. So he was missing for periods of time. So suddenly the defence are rotating, the midfield are rotating. Mini Haaland, he did his toe. He was out for a month. So I'm like, oh, this is, it feels like I'm not sprinting over the line. I'm crawling over it. But fellas, shockingly enough, we did it. We didn't bottle it. Oh. We held our nerve and we made it. We won the league, I think, with 4 games to go. Wow. It's like, this is, we are done. It feels nice. I was also still in the Norwegian Cup as well. So we finished the save with a Norwegian Cup final and we beat Viking. We beat them 2-1, which was absolutely superb. So we finished our time in Norway with a league and cup double with Rosenborg, from a team that I kept up on the last day season one to suddenly turning it around and becoming the best team in the world and winning the league in season two. So I've done it. I'm out of Norway. What a result. It was bittersweet because I loved that Rosenborg team. I absolutely adored it. It was so much fun. And I was sad to say goodbye. I almost had my work the space moment, because instead of pressing resign, I nearly pressed retire, which probably wouldn't have left the safe in a very good state. Fortunately, chat picked it up as I was hovering over it. They're like, no, that's the wrong button, Rich. Don't press retire. Retire is not what you want to do. So we shook hands with the board. I was like, thank you, but I'm off ski. Mm-hmm. And I resigned from my position, which was, again, heartbreaking. Felt terrible because I just really liked that team. And then begins the long wait for work in Sweden. Destination number two in the save. Problem with the Norwegian and the Swedish leagues is they run at pretty much opposite times of the year. So you sat there waiting months and months and months and months for something to come up. So the Norwegian league ends, I think, late November, early December. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to wait, you know, kind of 4 or 5 months for the Swedish league to really, really kick in. Because at the end of the season, everybody's job in Sweden was secure. So there were no jobs available. I was like, well, now we play the waiting game. And then the Swedish league format is a really, really strange one as well. Because when the league starts, you actually don't start with the league fixtures. You start with the cup fixtures. You get put into a Swedish cup group stage and you play 4 or 5 fixtures before you even start the league campaign. So you've got to wait for those to finish. And then you've got to wait for a team to stink up the gaff and maybe the manager to start getting a bit wobbly in terms of their position at the club. And it's just, you just have to sit there. And it took about 6 months before any jobs became available. And suddenly, two became available at once. The AIK job became available. And the Gothenburg job. No, sorry, not Gothenburg. It was Gothenburg, I think. It was Gothenburg. Yeah, two big jobs became available at the same time. Now, they're two of the higher reputation clubs in Sweden. There's about 4 or 5 kind of clubs with 3-star reputation. They're the big ones. The biggest, in my opinion, although they haven't been great in real life in terms of the league recently, is Malmo. They are very, very good financially, very, very strong. And they were looking a little bit precarious. The season before, they finished 10th in the league, which is awful by their standards. And I was like, well, if they've had a really, really bad season and suddenly I'm available, they might be interested in me. Maybe we can have a conversation. They were not interested in me in the slightest. weirdly enough. They had a really bad start to their campaign. I think they were sat, I think it was like 13th after the opening four games. But then again, the format, there's a gap kind of quite early in the Swedish season. So you play four or five kind of cup games, then you play your opening five or six league games, and then there's a break for about 6 weeks in kind of, you know, mid-May to early July. And they were sat around 13th with one game to go before the break. And I'm sat there thinking, hey, if they lose this game and that job becomes available, I might be in with a shout. They bloody won it, didn't they? Took them sixth. They flew at the table and their job remained secure. And I was like, well, that's off the table. But the two others became available. And I, you know, had a chat with Chat, who were influential in talking me out of the odd job and taking the Rosenborg gig. And I was like, hey, let's talk, boys. What are we saying? And the general consensus was there aren't many AIK streams on Twitch at the moment. So I was like, right, we'll chuck our hat in the arena. We'll see what we can do. Applied for the job, I think it was mid-May, and didn't get an interview until the beginning of July. And I was like, that seems counterproductive, considering how badly you're doing in the league. I think that at that point, they were second bottom. Took the interview, and it was not an easy interview. I was expecting them to come in and go, oh, we've seen you've done wonderful things in Rosenborg. You've won a league and cup double. Please come and manage our football club. We would consider it an enormous personal favour if you would come and manage our football club. They're like, sorry, who are you? And why are you applying for this? Have you managed in football before? I've just won a league and cup double at Rosenborg. Rosen who? Wattenberg. All we can see here is that you cultivate a very negative dressing room atmosphere and you're really bad at talking to the press. So are you sure you want the job? I said, yes, please. I would really, really like the job. And I went in from, I started the interview, like, right, I'm confident, like, this is going to go my way, to like, by the end of it, I felt like I was begging. Genuinely. It's like, please, sir, please give me some job with my little begging bowl out. And it was, I wasn't sure. I genuinely wasn't sure after the interview process whether I was even in with a shout. Fortunately, they took pity on me. They took pity on a little chancer. You know, he's, you know, done a couple of things in a league that technically is, you know, I think like eight European rankings above theirs. And I was offered the job with AIK and I was delighted to accept. So Sweden is underway. The squad is that there are some absolute gems in the squad, by the way. You know, Sweden's a bit of a funny league. There's a really good mix of like youth and experience across most teams. Weirdly enough, the experience always seems to be at centre back. I don't think maybe it's some kind of weird Swedish league registration rule that I didn't pick up on, is that all centre backs have to be over 33 in the league. There don't seem to be any young ones. But I've got a 6'8" goalkeeper. I've got a really, really, I've got a load of teeny tiny little forwards as well. So like most of my strikers are under 5'10", which I think is nice, because I've gone from having a massive lad to loads of little lads, which I quite like the concept of. It's a fun looking team. They've given me a big budget. So I've got, I think it started as like 6.2 million to spend on my squad, which is astronomical compared to what I was getting in Norway. I have had to allocate a lot of that over to my scouting budget early doors, because all I could see were players from Sweden and that was it, nothing else. Mm. So as it turns out, there are quite a few European players that are interested. But we've started. We played one game. We played one game against local rivals. I think it was Gothenburg we played last night, who were sat second in the league, away from home. Baptism of fire, took the job, and a day later I had a game. And I'm delighted to announce we won 2-1. So instantly,
nice.
Instantly, I am club legend. I am demanding statue. Absolutely. I am demanding open top bus parade across the entirety of Sweden. It's going well. So fingers crossed. Chat are saying at the moment, this is probably going, there is potential for a Rosenborg replica. Take over a club that were in the relegation zones halfway through the season, keep them up, and then smash it season two. Although the good news, so it's the bigger thing. The good news for me is that, you know, they were second bottom when I got the interview. Mm-hmm. Their caretaker won a game which took them up to, I think, 11th. And then I've won a game which suddenly took us up to a 7th or 8th. So I'm already top half the table. So it could be going, I've had a touch there. I've definitely had a touch. Well, it could be going Rich, significantly worse.
Rich, Callum, I'd like to offer you three different congratulations. First of all, congratulations for getting the new job. Mm. My dog's just arrived. Secondly, congratulations for your League Cup double, obviously.
Thank you.
But the most important congratulations was for a joke that we completely overlooked, and I thought it was fantastic, where you said that they, what was the team in Norway that were dropping off that you usually do really well?
Molde. Was it Malmo? Sorry.
Oh, Malmo.
No, not
no, that's
oh, in Norway. Rosenborg?
Bodø/Glimt.
Bodø/Glimt.
How did it take us so long to get to that?
Let's all name a Scandinavian team.
And when you said that they love drawings, they must really enjoy Pictionary, and we completely overlooked that joke. I loved it, and I'd like to formally apologise because I thought it was really
It's funny. Quite all right. Don't worry.
I'm not apologising for anything because I didn't even notice.
I loved it.
You know, comedy is a dying art form, and I'm doing my best to kill it, both in podcast form and real life. I'm not killing it in the way that you say, oh, I've absolutely killed it. Like, literally, I am murdering comedy. Very, very nicely. So thank you, mate. Thank you. One of the cool things, actually, we did notice, and thank you, Kev, for again, I said last night when I was streaming, please remind me because it's been a long day. Mm. We noticed that, you know, as if you've done journeyman saves, if you've done anything where you are unemployed for a period of time, all you see are the job adverts coming. You know, that's all you get. Months and months of job adverts. Oh, this manager job isn't, they're in a bit of trouble. What do you think? And most of the time you ignore it. You're just not really fussed. Because I've got all the Scandi leagues loaded in. I've got a lot of neighbouring countries loaded in. And I've also loaded at the Premier League because I'm like, there's chances for club affiliation, which means loans, which means help. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to load up millions and millions and millions because it will just slow my computer down. I'll never get the save done. We did notice last night that Emma Hayes had the Stoke job in the save, nice. Which was dead cool because it's the first time in a long time I've actually noticed a female manager in one of my saves. And I was like, that is incredibly cool. And you would hope that that's the kind of thing that, especially with the announcements for FM25, with women's football taking place, there's going to be that crossover. I think you're going to see, hopefully you're going to see a lot of higher profile, like female football managers making the leap into the men's game. And I'm dead excited for that. I think it's a really, 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 really good thing for the game. It was the only job that I had time to comment on. I was like, everybody else is like, oh, what do you think? So-and-so is precarious at Birmingham. Oh, the West Brom job might be coming available. I'm like, I do not care. I have zero interest. But what do you think of the pressure they're putting on Emma Hayes at Stoke? I'm like, stop it. She's doing a great job. She's been there 3 months. Leave Emma alone. How dare you? So that was dead cool. So it was nice to see her featuring more prominently
On my Slough save, she's had a variety of jobs throughout the Football League, actually. So I agree. It's one of those. I think Football Manager is really great. When you take a step back from your save and check out your FM universe, which is what I always call it, where within your save, what is going on? Because it's really easy to just be like, right, I'm in this league, that's who I'm concentrating on, and that's what I'm going to do. And I think it's one of the cooler parts of the game because the game is still going. Like, this game is still going around you. So it's not all your club. And I think it's what Football Manager does really, really well. Like, I found on my save recently that Nick Powell had taken over at Crewe, and that's where he started his football career. And I thought, that's lovely. What a lovely little narrative. I may never have seen that, you know, like, but FM have just done that because it makes sense. And so, like, as I say, the decisions within the game that are ultimately, they're not really relevant. Like, they don't impact you massively, are so cleverly done. Like, it's so subtle. And it's so clever. And I really like that, the fact they add that in and the differences in jobs and stuff.
I'd like to seek some therapy on this Football Manager Therapy podcast. I've just been told by Callum that I'm not the centre of my FM universe. I'm not quite sure I like that or understand that concept completely.
Apologies. Kev, you are not the main character.
You are, Kev. You are the main character in my life. But I completely agree with you, Callum. It's dead cool, isn't it? Just pausing every now and then just to see what's going on around the rest of the world in terms of the game. It's a really, really nice little touch. Again, we were having this conversation on stream last night. It's, you know, you see, if somebody had said to you, 5 years ago, in 5 years' time, Xavi is going to win a La Liga title with Barcelona as manager, you'd have said in real life, you'd be like, no. maybe in like 10, 15 years time. Yes, but fuck, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And it's just happened. Spoilers, reality. It's one of those things. So it's always really cool to see, isn't it? So I think somebody like an Emma Hayes at Stoke City getting like a higher profile job is really, really cool. And as I say, hopefully it's Hannah Dingley, isn't it, that's taken over the FGR job in real life.
Yes.
Like, again, that's really, really cool. So more very of that cool. kind of thing. Please and thank you. So indeed. It's the kind of thing I'll be keeping an eye out for the rest of my saves. It's just that these little developments, these cool little things, it's a really, really, really lovely thing. The only other thing that I do regret, say we're talking about leagues I had loaded up, towards the end of the season in Rosenborg, and admittedly at this point it's when we were starting to develop a little bit of a lead at the top of the table, I got an announcement out of nowhere that I got, oh, by the way, we've gone out and we've gone to that bigger part of Europe, we've gone big Europe, and we've got you a club affiliate, we've got you an affiliated club. Have you heard of AC Milan? Because they will now just send you all of their players on loan at no cost to you. Is that okay? And I was like, yes, I am okay with that as a core concept. That's absolutely fine. And then clicking on AC Milan's team, realizing I didn't have Italy loaded in the database and they had no reserves. I'm like, cool. Oh, thank you so much, game. That could have been any high profile Champions League-esque club in Europe, but no, just have this one with all these invisible grayed out players. Thank you, game. Dead appreciative of that. Thanks, FM. So yeah, back down to earth with a very, very big bump in that moment. But hey, it's all going well. Sweden is go. I am confident next time I stream, I'm just going to throw loads and loads of money at players and just see who I can get into Sweden. It's going to be awful, but I'm also really looking forward to it. So that's what I've been up to. And that's awesome. Been nice.
Congrats, yeah. Rich. It's all good.
Thank you very much, fellas. Thank you very much. It's honestly, I was a little bit, after how badly season one went, I could just see myself sat here and be like, oh, you know what? Season six in Norway, it's not going well again. And I was like, when the announcement came out, you could carry over saves from 23 to 24. And I was like, they've seen how badly it's going for me. They've aimed that at me personally. But no. It's all going to be fine. You could make the compelling argument, fellas. You can make the compelling argument that that is not the highest level of success that the podcast have achieved this week. Because it is, you know, we're recording this as we do on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dust has now settled in the aftermath of yesterday's Football Manager World Heavyweight Championship gauntlet match. The reigning and defending champion, the United City FM, Kev Lesnar. See, Jeb's not here. I'm not doing it justice, am I?
You're doing all right.
I'm doing all right. My advocate, Jeb Lesnar. I am Jeb Heyman. I'm not Jeb Heyman. Last week, Jeb pretended he was me, and he did a really good job of it as
I think we've decided you're now. Richie Whippleman, aren't we?
I am Richie Whippleman, yeah. I'm the Harvey Whippleman of my own podcast. There's no justice in the world. Kev yes. went into yesterday's gauntlet match with a title to defend. How'd it go, pal?
Well, it was a really, really interesting evening of drafting. The gauntlet match itself, just so anybody doesn't know, there were, let me just get this right, there were six participants, two start on a particular draft stipulation, and they play head-to-head against each other over two matches. And basically then the winner stays on and the other one goes home. And so the first matchup was Big Man on Campus versus Grimmie. And there were going to be five matchups in total. I was the champion, so I was the last person to come into the competition. I was kind of their title match at the end, so they fought amongst themselves to get to me. So there were going to be five matchups. They gave us six different stipulations that the five matchups would be choosing from, and we didn't know which one we were going to get, literally, until they said, this is your stipulation. There is the match, the draft engine. Go for it. Go. And you didn't know what you were going to get until that point. So it was difficult to kind of prepare for. I'll come back to that because I had a slight advantage on that front. But the six different stipulations were things like American-only players was one. There was one that you could not draft into your squad anybody that could naturally play striker, attacking mid-left, attacking mid-right, or attacking mid-central. There was one where you had to only draft players that were 1.7 meters or shorter. So I think that's about 5'7", 5'6", somewhere around there.
It's 5 foot five. And the fact that that one was referred to as the sweet left foot stipulation was just...
Bless him. Love you, Mike.
They woke up and they chose violence. So
there were a couple of others in there that had varying nations as part of it. So it was a bit of a wider amount of players, but the actual budgets were very random as well, and we'll get back to that as well as we go through. Mm-hmm. So originally it was big man on campus versus Grimmy. I'm not going to go through exactly which stipulations they all got because I probably would get them wrong anyway because they were quite complicated, but Grimmy won that first matchup. So he then went through and played against JM Thoughts, and again they were then handed a different stipulation, went into a brand new draft, drafted their squads, played two games against each other. And actually, this is where it went slightly weird a little bit, in that Grimmy won it. He was very, very good in those first two fixtures against Big Man on Campus and then JM Thoughts. But unfortunately, he also then had a bit of a family emergency that took him away. So he had to leave the contest after having beaten JM Thoughts. Grimmy, I hope you're well. I hope everybody around you is well. And he did amazing, though. Those first two encounters, he was absolutely fantastic. So Grimmy then had to leave the competition. So it meant that they asked JM to continue on, JM Thoughts, just to carry on. So JM Thoughts went to the next round against Eloise. And they again had a completely separate stipulation, drafted and played two matches each. And JM Thoughts got through that one. And then he encountered Honey Badger in the next round. And again, different stip, went into two matches. Was it that one, Rich? I think it was that one, wasn't it? Where they got the 1.7 meter or under and there was no goalkeepers in the player pool.
Yes.
There was literally exactly no goalkeeper in there at all.
Not a single goalkeeper.
They'd got a crafty thought, I think, the two of them, that what they were going to do is draft their 17 out of 18 absolutely mandatory players that they must have in their squad, and then they would leave it and they'd take a grayed-out goalkeeper. But they were soon told that it was an 18-man mandatory drafted squad and you couldn't play grayed-out players. So they had to play an outfield player in goal, and it was chaos, which was fun for a little while. But again, JM Thoughts, having had his reprise earlier because of what happened with Grimmy, won the next matchup against Honey Badger and made it all the way through to the final matchup with me. Now, we talked about the stips, we talked about the budget. I had a little bit of an advantage here. I always knew that I was going to be the last person into the competition. And I always knew that that would mean I could spend the hour that it took them to draft and play two matches in the setup before me to think about what two player pools and stipulations I was going to be working with either or. And so I did that. And then I got to the point where the two that I was left with was one of those with multiple nations as part of it. Now, I didn't know what the budget would be, and there's a rumor going around it would have been a very small budget, but I knew the player pool. It was Spain, England, Brazil. There was, you know, those types of nations in there in various forms. And I thought, I can blag my way through that, whatever the budget. I know the English players specifically, so I'll be able to find a squad. So I left that one alone. So I spent half an hour looking through the American player pool because the other one was all American players. And I don't really follow MLS, and I don't really know that much about the men's national team for America. And so it was quite a worthwhile half an hour to spend. I didn't know the budget, but I could then go in and find the players. Now, I thought as I was doing it, I thought I'll create a shortlist and I'll try and get a breadth of values across the shortlist just in case they throw curveballs. And they threw a bit of a curveball. So I only had, in a draft for 18 players in America, I only had £40 million to spend. So we're looking at you know, just over 2 million a player in that sense. Now, I bought one or two at sort of 4-7, I think was the highest I got, you know, all that kind of stuff. But most of them then become near enough £1 million and, you know, in and around that. I have no idea sitting here on the Sunday morning afterwards who I drafted. I got no idea who they were. All I know is attribute wise, they could fit in the system I wanted to play, which, spoiler alert, was my two striker up front, one of them being a very, very big target man, because that's how I choose to play Football Manager. So I drafted for the setup, for the tactic. Had a lovely chat with JM Thoughts along the way because he's a very lovely dude. And then we played our two matches. First match, I actually got off to a really good start in defending my title. I was up 2-0 in the first half or so. And then in the second half, it kind of just went a bit awry. But this was my sort of pseudo away fixture. Even though they were neutral venues, I think there's a little bit of a bonus to get there if you're a home team, etc. I came out of my away fixture at 2-2. He came back into the game, got us into that second game all evening. So all even. So yeah, into the second game, I made a couple of changes because a couple of my players weren't playing fantastically well. So I just moved a couple of them around. And ultimately, we went into the second game and it was a very, very tight affair again. We got through to the 90 minutes, still even across the board, and went into extra time. And then I barraged his goal through corner kicks. There was about four corner kick, near post corner kick routines in the space of literally 2 minutes of real time in that sense. I was absolutely banging on the door. Couldn't quite find any of them. They were hitting the crossbar. They were getting cleared. They were getting blocked, all sorts of stuff. And then eventually, with about 3 minutes to go, there was a highlight. And the highlight was scored from. And I retain my title. I am still the reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of the Football Manager world, and I'm delighted about it. It was a real close encounter. JM Thoughts was an absolutely magnificent opponent. It took us all the way to like the 117th minute for that highlight to show up. I got the goal from it. I still literally have no idea who any of my players were. I just know they were head of ball in the right place at the right time, and it kind of worked for me. And I have defended my title, which is actually quite significant. It felt amazing to win the title in the first place in another sort of tournament scenario with some great guys and girls in that one. But to defend it kind of cements you in it a little bit more. Because if you just lost it at the first opportunity, then you kind of go, oh, well, that, you know, whatever. But I'm still the blooming champ. Come on, FM community. What have you got? So the first thing I would say is it was an amazing evening. It started at like 4 p.m. in the afternoon and we finished at like 9:45 or I think it was something like that in the evening by the time I was all done and interviewed at the end of it. And Gavin and Sean were on the panel covering the events, and Michael, the kind of owner commissioner of the whole thing, was behind the scenes just directing everything and making sure it was all running smoothly. And mostly it did. There were a couple of technical bits and pieces that didn't quite work out, but other than that, it was a very well thought out run event, and the actual stream itself from the two guys doing that was immense because they had a lot to do over the space of like a 4 or 5 hour period. So all the shout outs to them, and Bad Lip Twitch was on the social medias for them putting out some funny tweets and stuff as well, which was great. But it was good. And that, you know, they kept us informed. We're running a bit late here. We're going to need you a bit there, or, you know, change this up or whatever it might be. It was all fantastic. Loved all the different matchups. They were all chaotic because that's what Michael loves, is the chaos of everything. And mine was no different. You know, the 40 million budget, all American players, was not something I really could use experience for. But the benefit for me was I knew where I was coming in, and I knew that I didn't have to worry about all of the other different stipulations. I knew that I had basically a one-off double-headed match against somebody that would potentially win me my title or retain my title. And I drafted all right, and we played all right, and we squeezed through, and I'm still the champ. So the other thing that I'll say just before we move on is I was asked by the panel at the end of the evening if there was anybody that I really wanted to face from this point onwards. And I could have pulled all sorts of names out the hat just because, but it's got to be Grimmy. for what happened mm-hmm. to him. He was so great for the first couple of matchups, and he was so unlucky that it just fell that he couldn't quite continue on, etc. So, Grimmy, if you're out there, I will happily take you on any time, any place, anywhere. It's all good from my perspective. And then once that is done and I retain my title again, because I'm gonna, well, I might do, who knows, but I'm gonna try. And if I do, then it's an open field, really. Anybody that wants to make yourself known to the World Heavyweight Championship organization, go and do that. Put your name forward and we'll see what we can do. But yeah, reigning, defending, undisputed FM World Heavyweight Champion, Kevin Lesnar.
Well done, Kev.
Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely superb. Superb scenes. I was streaming last night, so I was kind of like catching up with bits and pieces of what was going on in Kev's fixture in between stuff that was going on in mine. And I think at one point I like popped into Kev's stream and I was like, oh, he's 2-0 up. This is probably going to be fine. And then 15 minutes later, I popped back in. I'm like, oh, okay. It's now like 3-all on aggregate. And then I popped back in and I was like, oh, okay. We're now in the, he's got a corner. It's the 115th minute of extra time. And then about 30 seconds after that, one of our lovely friends of the podcast and friend of the streams, lovely Sam, just ran.
Hi, Sam. Okay.
Hello, Sam. He comes running in. He's like a little paper boy. He's like, extra, extra, Kev retains title. I'm
like, oh, the rumor is he talks like that as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've heard rumors. Come to Slough. Let's find out if you really do or not. But yeah, it was really, really happy. Very, very happy for it. And as you say, I say Grimmy surely is the next one on the list.
Definitely.
I was watching the streams throughout the afternoon. He played fantastically against Big Man, and he was brilliant against JM as well. So there we go. Make it happen.
It's very surprising. Whenever I play against Grimmy, he's always rubbish. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm trying terrible. To get myself an easy title defender. No, I'm not. I'm seriously not. Grimmy, I love you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Grimmy's
and the, I think the other important thing to take from this is that, you know, people behind the Football Manager World Heavyweight Championships, Michael Commissioner, get my colleague Kev here, get him a big gold belt.
Yeah, where's my get big him. Gold belt?
Where's his big gold belt? He deserves it because he's got big gold trousers to keep up and he needs a big gold belt to do it. So get this man a title. He deserves it at this point. Wonderful. I love the concept of the World Heavyweight Championship. And like I say, you know full well when you go into one of those competitions that it's not going to be £300 million budget, world pool, do what you need to do. There's always going to be something interesting. And I think the realization, you could tell yesterday, especially with the 5'5" stipulation, I think when everybody suddenly realized there are no goalkeepers in this pool, that's the kind of spontaneous nonsense that I really, really enjoy. So more of that kind of thing, please. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. So congratulations to Kev Lesnar. When Jeb is back, he'll don't worry, Jeb Heyman will be here. There'll be the parade and then somebody will super kick you. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah,
it's
fine.
They could try anyway. No, wonderful stuff. Excellent. What a day. What a day for all involved yesterday. I was trying to think of a really clever segue, if I'm honest with you, lads, but I've let myself down. I couldn't.
Well, it's going to happen sooner or later. I mean, we've been doing this for 6 months or so, and you've done segues. I mean,
if there's one thing that I'm willing to blow my own trumpet for, my segue game, fair to middling. But this week, nothing, absolutely nothing. What we wanted to do kind of for this section of podcast, and we've talked a big game about a lot of people. From the wider FM community so far today. I think we just want to take a couple of minutes just to talk about some of the really, really good content that's out there, some of the really good things that people are doing, because there's a lot. There is a lot. I mean, I look at the wider FM community now and the amount of people whose names that I didn't even know this time last year, for example. That list just grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And the amount of really lovely people that I've got to meet and talk to through things like PvP, through things like the podcast, has been wonderful. So, and if you don't directly know the people involved, sometimes these things are very easy to miss. And, you know, if you're somebody who listens to this podcast, who doesn't necessarily, you know, if you just enjoy playing the game, by yourself, if you don't stream it, if you're not involved in the more online kind of things, then you might miss these kind of things because there's some really, really good stuff out there. So we just wanted to take a minute to talk about some of the really, really good work people are doing in the wider FM community, some of the content you might want to check out if you enjoy watching streams, listening to podcasts, whatever it may be. And I'm going to start because it's my podcast. And I wanted to highlight two different people, as it turns out. Two different forms of content, I suppose. First and foremost, we've mentioned their names not so long ago, and that is Grimmy, and that is also Gavin Brash, who was involved on the comms team yesterday for the World Heavyweight Championship. They both make up part of the collective behind the kind of Unbelievable Streams podcast, or Unbelievable Productions, I think, is their overarching their overarching gig. They do all sorts. But one of the things they do Unbelievable Streams. They sit down and talk to FM content creators. apparently it's terrible. I take it all back. Yeah, sorry.
Callum's
dogs. No. Sorry. How dare you? No, it's terrible. Howling content. No, they're lovely dudes, and Unbelievable Streams, that's their kind of, you know, they're their interview-based podcast. They sit down with people from the FM community and they just talk to them. And I had the absolute privilege of sitting down and talking to them early this week. The episode featuring myself dropped Friday, this Friday just gone. There will be a link to it in the description of this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, whatever, there'll be a link to that episode. Give it a watch. I mean, it's me, so it is what it is. But they do a really, really wonderful job. They're really engaging hosts. They're really, really lovely guys, and they put a lot of time and effort into the content that they make. Mm-hmm. So go back. There's a huge back catalogue of episodes, possibly featuring some people that might be sat here with me now. Who's to say? These guys, I've got me. You can tell I've been away for a week, so I'm getting me angles wrong. These lads here, these boys, look at them. Physical comedy again.
Physical
comedy, it's back. Yeah, give it a listen because they're really, really engaging. They're really, really good episodes. It's just nice to get to know people. Go onto their YouTube, press the subscribe button on there, because it's great. Really, really good content, and I cannot recommend it enough. I had a really, really nice time talking to them. It's the first podcast, I think it's the first podcast that I've ever actually just been invited to be a guest on. Nice. This one technically excluded because it's now my podcast, but I was a Patreon guest before I kind of took over on FMT, but it's the first one that I've not had any kind of association with at all that said, hey, do you want to come on for a chat? And I had a really, really nice time. So please, by all means, go and drop them a subscription on YouTube. So they've been going for a little while. They're dead good. The other people I wanted to talk about, it's a brand new podcast. It's a brand new podcast that launched this week. It is called FM Thoughts. And based on that name, you can probably guess who from the community makes it. It's Pumpster. No, it's JM Thoughts. Of course it is. It's the wonderful, wonderful JM Thoughts. Like the one of the, he's up there in terms of the, if you look at the Kev scale of kindness in the FM community, JM's up there. He's one of the loveliest, softly spoken, like nice people I've had the pleasure of interacting with on the platform. He's just launched his new podcast, FM Thoughts. It's a more short form podcast. He has a really nice little chat with a member of the community about just their thoughts on FM content, whatever it may be. That launched this week. And I'm going to be honest with you, from a personal perspective, he's knocked it out of the park because he's got his first guest on. The first guest on his podcast is Pokes. Is friend of our podcast, friend of the channel, friend of the people, Pokes FM. Like, you can't ask for much more, really, can you?
I've never heard of him.
Oh, he's dead nice. You'll like him, Callum.
He's a good guy.
You'll like him.
Oh, okay. Go check him out this week, Callum.
Yeah, he's very, very nice. And he's also dead good at PvP. So,
that's helpful. That's what I look for in a person.
You will learn a thing or two from just absorbing his wisdom.
Does he have any like squid hats or anything like that he occasionally wears?
Probably. I don't know if that's a deal breaker for you. Fish-based headwear, or, you know.
No, I actually encourage it. I quite enjoy it.
There you go.
Does he have any strong opinions on how to eat a biscuit as well? Because I feel like that would be...
He has very, very strong opinions on biscuit eating as well.
Maybe this is the content I need to check out then.
Maybe this is the content we all need. We don't want this content. We need this content. Yeah. It's very, very important that we all engage with this kind of content. So yeah, JM and Pokes, FM Thoughts. And he has also confirmed in writing that even though the initials are the same, he will never refer to his podcast as FMT. I've considered a huge personal favour. Our colleague Jeb may or may not have posted a GIF of somebody just licking a knife when he mentioned it. So I think that's enough to maybe put him off. Yeah. So FM Thoughts, not FMT. Yeah. So please, if you need something to do this week, if you're looking for some new podcasts, if you're looking for some new content, get involved with both of those. Because they're both dead good and they're run by lovely, nice, lovely people. And they deserve your time and ears and or eyes. So there you go. Those are the two people I'd like you to go and watch. And hey, if you do, come back and let us know. Go type in our comments underneath. Hey, I listened to Unbelievable Streams this week, or I listened to FM Thoughts this week, and they were really, really nice. So let us know what you're listening to. Callum, what about you, my friend? Who are you enjoying? Who do you think deserves a bit of a talking about this week?
I do think it's a really difficult question, honestly, because I mean, the community seems to be thriving at the moment. And I think the wider community is doing really, really well. We've got a lot of very good content creators. That being said, there's somebody who I really, really enjoy watching and I think is genuinely brilliant at what he does. You might not be familiar with him, if you've listened to this podcast in the past.
Well, this is no what we want, new people.
Yeah, you won't have heard of this one. He's he's a little person called Tony Jameson. Tony Jameson. Now, he goes under the radar a lot. Not many people know who he was. So I thought, I'd bring a bit of, let people know the name of TJ. All jokes aside, Tony is fantastic at what he does. He's really, really good. Whether it's hosting the playoffs, whether it's being behind the scenes of the playoffs or organizing things like panelists. But away from that, go and watch a Tony stream, because I just think they're quite unique, really. The way he holds a chat, he has a lot of people in watching him, and yet he manages to keep everyone involved in the chat. More often than not, it's just madness. He's talking about different desserts. He's talking about all a variety of things. But he's a stand-up comedian, and that comes across. He is a genuinely funny bloke, and the way he holds a chat, the way he holds a stream, he is starting, dare I say it, he's starting to get quite good at the game. There's not many people on this year's game who are standing up and going, I'm quite good at this. He's dominating in his British Steel save. Like, he's doing genuinely very well. There was a running joke before he started the save of how many trophies will I actually get? And I can't remember off the top of my head how many are out there to get, but it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. It's
like 38.
Gonna say 36. So it must be around that figure. There. Yeah. And he was sort of joking, well, it'll definitely be under 10, and I think everyone, because it's Tony and because everyone, there's a bit of a meme about Tony's actually not very good at FM. Turns out he's smashing it. He's doing really, really well with it. And it's a really interesting save where he's basically trying to go around the British Isles and win pretty much every cup competition there is to win, leagues, cups. And he's doing quite a lot of them. He's doing quite a lot of them. I think recently he's just won quite a lot in Wales with TNS. And I think he's just taken over with Leeds, which is very interesting. He has tried the Premier League, I think, already with Crystal Palace. But he's gone back to Leeds now, so he's giving it a go with them. Genuinely really interesting save. But more than anything, we talk about this all the time. If you're going to a stream for a personality, go and check out Tony Jameson, because he is about as good as they get on the platform at the moment, I think. And he's just fantastic. Really lovely bloke.
100%. It sounds like if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, it almost sounds counterproductive being like, hey, let's recommend somebody. Oh, it's the guy that used to host this podcast for 99 episodes. But on the other hand, I'm also very aware that, Tony left the podcast, I think it was around October of last year. And again, to toot our own horn, We've quite nicely kind of, we seem to have cultivated a newer audience, which is wonderful. We've got people that have been listening since episode one that's still with us. We've got people that this might be the first episode they listen to. And if it is, welcome. We love having you in. We love you watching the podcast. It's brilliant. Love to meet you. You look wonderful today. You smell terrific as well. But there are people, if you're a newer audience member, if you've not been watching the podcast, following it for that long, you may not know who Tony is. And if you don't watch streams, then again, he might be a newer name to you. So go check him out. As Callum says, he's dead good. This came up very briefly on the Unbelievable Streams podcast. Tony's bread and butter when he was performing a lot as a comedian. He was pound for pound one of the best MCs on the circuit. Absolutely superb. And an MC is somebody who hosts a gig, they talk to the audience, they interact with them, they get the audience ready for the comedians to come on. And that's all he does when he streams. He MCs a stream and he does it absolutely superbly. And as you say, he's got pretty good at the game as well. It's almost like he then joined another podcast with RDF Tactics, and that seems to have had some kind of positive effect on how he plays the game.
You're in a dangerous ground here, because what you're saying is when he was on the podcast with you, he wasn't good at FM, and now he's with Aaron, he's really good. So I wouldn't possibly want to say that, Rich. You know,
no, that's exactly what I am saying. Exactly what I'm saying. I was definitely dragging him down.
There's just as a point of interest as well, of having watched a stream of his this week with Aaron on it, where they were talking about the update on 2425 of FM, etc. We might not want to call it a podcast at the moment. I think they do a talk cast because there's some issues about where they're coming back and where they're going to sit and all that kind of stuff from within the podcasting world. But
definitely.
That stream was great. Yeah. You'll find it on the video on demand on Tony's channel. So go check those two out. It was a great stream.
So good. The video they made in what could be arguably referred to as a podcast style format, but definitely wasn't a podcast, was dead good. But when they were hosting the Football Manager show together previously, that was also very good. And like I say, the rate he's flying through that challenge is incredible. We had a running joke together when he kind of announced the concept of the save. He was like, this is what I'm going to do. Because it's an idea he's had since FM22. And I think it was after one of his saves kind of was starting to slow down a little bit. We were talking about content ideas. Like, God, this is what I'm thinking of. And at that point, we kind of sat down and did the maths together, and I messaged him and I was like, mate, so in order for this save to work, if you're going to finish this save, you will need to win a trophy on average every two streams between now and the end of FM22. He's like, maybe we leave it for 23 then. And I was like, but even then, that's still a trophy a week. And he was like, well, we'll see where we get to. And he's probably going to win the whole thing, isn't he? Because of course he is. No, we love Tony around here, and great shout in terms of people to talk about, in terms of good content and good people. Kev, if there was ever an expert on good people, it's probably you, on account of you being one. Who have you got, pal? What have you got for us?
So I've got one very quick thing I want to say, and then I'll deep dive into something a bit wider. But the first thing I want to say is somebody to just shout out and give a bit of a public announcement for is that FM Llama has moved from YouTube to Twitch. Go check him out. It's amazing. That's my little quick.
Absolutely.
I've always been a champion of Llama. He's amazing. And I have spoken about the fact he streams on YouTube Monday, Wednesday, Friday most of the time, all that kind of stuff. But he has now moved to Twitch. So for his streaming, obviously he'll still be doing videos over on YouTube, but go check him out because he's amazing. He's awesome. He is absolutely. He's finally made the move. Welcome to Twitch, Llama. He's great. So that's my public service announcement. You're very welcome, everybody. Go check him out. So what I thought I'd bring to the scenario here is a slightly different slant on what we're talking about, which is just members of our community doing awesome things. And, you know, we've heard about the Unbelievable Streams pod, and we've heard about JM Thoughts, we've heard about what Tony's doing. So here's my thought, right? There are some amazing people in this community putting out amazing things, but just at the moment they're putting these things out not within a Football Manager game perspective. There's if you've seen around recently, there's the Minecraft FM server going with lots of people playing on there. There's people having been played Formula One Manager in the past. There's all sorts of different genre of games out there that people are gravitating towards because their desire to play Football Manager might be not as strong in FM23 for various aspects that we've all talked about over the last few months about where the game sits. But here's the important thing, and Callum mentioned it in his little section a minute ago. His basic perspective was he watches Tony, and now Tony is potentially getting good at the game. But the reason he watches Tony is because of who Tony is and the personality he brings and the competency of hosting an afternoon or an evening of streaming action or whatever it might be. So that's the key. If you are not watching one of your favorite streamers because they have veered away from FM at the moment because their love for the game might not quite be there, they haven't quite got the save idea, go and check them out this week. Go and find them again. If they're still streaming, if they're doing the Minecraft thing or they're doing a completely different game or they're just sitting and chatting or whatever, go check back in with them because it's the personality that drew you to them in the first place, not the game itself. Go make sure that they're doing okay. There was a tweet. Let's just call it out just because I know that he won't mind. Dr. Benji put out a tweet, I think it was even this morning, just basically saying, for anybody that doesn't know why I'm not doing YouTube at the moment, I just don't know what I want to do on it. I haven't got the idea. I don't know whether it's a great idea for me to just put content out for the sake of it, but I'm still streaming. And he's streaming Minecraft in the mornings and a bit of Football Manager in the afternoon. So if Dr. Benji is doing it, and just veering away from the game a little bit, but still putting himself out there, still making himself vulnerable to say, I don't know where this leads me at the moment because I'm not quite connected to the game. It doesn't change the fact that he's awesome at what he does. And it doesn't change the fact that you should check in with them occasionally and just go and say hi. So whoever it might be, whatever they're doing, if they veered away, or even, here's another even more amazing one for me. If they've stopped completely, but they've still got a Twitter account, go and ask them how they're doing. Because they probably haven't heard from anybody for months. Because the minute you take yourself out of the limelight of actually doing something, people forget about you and just move on and don't give you a second thought. So that's my challenge for our community this week. Go and find that person that's not playing Football Manager and ask them if they're okay. And go and find somebody that you know is still around but not really producing the content anymore. And go and make sure they're okay as well. Because that's what we do if we are proper community. So go do that. And there's still some amazing content out there. But go check Llama out as well.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing as well. You've hit the nail on the head. It's the personalities. 99 times out of 100, you're watching the streamer for the personality and who they are. Like last night, when I finished streaming, I noticed that Dupe was playing Minecraft. And I was like, I didn't go into the stream because I was very, very tired. And I was very, very hungry. And inspired by Kev, I had to go eat two bowls of cereal. But...
quite right.
Just one in the bowl, though, Kev. I'm a basic cereal eater. But I was sat downstairs eating my cereal, and I was thinking, you know what? I will guarantee you that Dupe playing Minecraft is just as engaging, if not more so, than watching him play Football Manager. I could sit and I could listen to Dupe read the dictionary, and I'd still be entertained. He's got that something about him. So you are completely right. Go and watch the people that you enjoy watching. And I guarantee you, regardless of what they're doing or playing, you will be entertained. So please go and do that. Go and do that. Again, let us know. Let us know in the comments who you're enjoying content-wise at the moment. Doesn't even have to be FM content, just in general. Because as we always say on this podcast, and in general, like your new favorite streamer is literally one click away on something like Twitch. Because you just never know. You never know. Before we start to wrap up, lads, before we do, I do the catchphrase and all that kind of thing, I think there's one more thing we just need to very, very briefly touch on. Callum, hello, mate. Are you busy at all on the 29th of July this year?
Yeah, I'm busy, I'm afraid. I've got quite a big thing on. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I'm just riding the pram round the castle.
Slightly. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. No, on the 29th of July, you were not going to believe this, listeners, but there's a charity day happening at Slough. We said this just before the podcast started. It's 20 days away. I think it is going to happen.
I think it's going to happen.
A lot of wheels are turning. A couple of, I suppose, updates with regards to the day. Because I don't want to sort of say the same thing every time when we speak about it, but I also want you to be aware of it, because I think with regards to this, it is, we've touched upon community, so it's a nice segue into this. This is very much a community day. I've said it once and I'll say it again. Anybody's welcome. It's £10 on the door. If you want to come, come. Like, and you will meet these people. We're going to be there all day. You know, and there's some absolutely unbelievable content creators that will be there. And it's really, really exciting to have so many people. And I will never stop saying thank you to them for giving their time to do it, you know, and it's really exciting. I suppose the big update from when I last spoke to you is with regards to the actual match itself. So the charity match between FM content creators will be streamed. I have been working really hard on making sure it will do, because I'm very aware of the fact that Slough isn't next door for everybody. It's not next door for any of us. You know, we've got to travel, and some people cannot make the journey, and some people cannot afford to make the journey, and some people are not even in this country. So there will be, you will not miss out. You will be able to watch the game. And I've spoken to the videographer. Yeah, I know, a videographer. I'm not just filming it on my phone. As a videographer, it's going to be really good. If you follow me on Twitch, you'll find it on there. If you don't follow me on Twitch, you'll still find it on there. It's going to be on the Y Callum channel. And yeah, I'm really excited to see how it's going to work. There's going to be a highlights package so we can watch all our excellent football again and hear Kev's wonderful commentary again. You know, if you want to hear that back. While we're in the realms of announcing things, why not? Should we announce the full commentary panel?
Shall we?
Hang on. Do you mean it's just not me doing a one-man show for four hours or whatever?
Just you, Kev. Unbelievable.
You, I'm glad about that.
So the commentary team. So to start off with, we have got the absolutely wonderful Connor McNeish, and he is someone who was pretty pivotal in getting me involved in Slough. So I'm over the moon that he is going to be involved in this as well. He is Slough's commentator. So he takes over Rebels Radio. He was always a part of Rebels Radio, but now he is Mr. Rebel Radio, which is fantastic. So I'm really, really chuffed that we get to have him involved. And then we've got a couple of others alongside our wonderful Kev. So we know Kev is going to be part of the commentary team. And we've got two more. One, who I'm delighted is involved, because it looked like for a very long period he wasn't going to be able to be involved in the day whatsoever, is our very own Jeb. Jeb Aru is involved in the commentary team, which is so brilliant, because not only is Jeb fantastic, and I'll be honest with you now, when we were thinking about people to mention in the community, I was between Jeb and Tony, because I think Jeb is so fantastic for this community and what he does. He brings a professional level to things like the playoffs. Like, if you ever do any sort of paneling or anything for the playoffs, you will become abundantly aware of how unbelievable Jeb is at this sort of thing. And so not only is he going to be involved in the commentary, he's obviously going to be in the podcast in the evening, which is amazing news, mainly because it means it will actually be competent, because we'll be able to he'll actually go out to people and be recorded.
Yes.
But it will be Jeb, and it's lovely. And you'll be able to see the fact that me and Jeb actually really like each other. And it's all a myth. It's all a myth, I tell you. We'll be hugging all day, I assume, skipping, holding hands. And then, oh, my word, I've got another one. Yeah,
go on.
We've mentioned him as well. It's only Blooming Llama. We've got a Llama in the house. So he is the other cop. What a team. Could you ask for a better team? I don't think so.
I just don't think you could.
No, genuinely, you couldn't. So we've got a really, really good commentary team. It's going to be a case of, because I'm very aware, I've named four people there. That's a lot of people to be speaking at the same time. We're going to be rotating people. We might even have people going down and doing in-game interviews. Who knows? We'll see how we play that. But it's guaranteed to be a really, really good watch. So if you are in the situation where you're thinking, I love the idea of it, there's no way I can get there, you will still be able to see the game. So that's really, really exciting. We will be announcing the second manager this week as well. That's really, really good. And hopefully by the end of this week, we'll also know the two squads. Because at the moment, I've announced everybody. And there was, I can't remember who it was, someone on Twitter said to me, "This is a very, very large team, because on the announcements it says welcome to the team." And I was like, no, we haven't got a squad of 30 going there. It is two separate teams. It's just they haven't been drawn within their side yet. So me and Rich will be finding out what team we're a part of, whether we're part of Team Illujo or part of Team Mystery Manager. But So that's also really exciting. We're 20 days away. We're only a couple of podcasts away from all being next to each other doing this, which is really, really exciting.
And that is the other genuinely lovely thing that we have just announced, basically, is that all four of us are going to be at the pod. And we didn't know that that was going to be the case. We didn't know that Jeb was going to be able to make it for a while. Work was in his way, and it's not. And he's going to be there, and we're going to, all four of us are going to be there to do the podcast, which is going to be fantastic.
It's the way it should be. It's the way it should be. Oh, absolutely. Really, it's what it's what we all wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the four of us together is going to be wonderful. Obviously, we've got our super special mystery guest confirmed for podcast as well. Couple of other little things just to throw in here. There will be a link. There's a Just Giving page that Callum has set up for the charity event because we're raising money for Mind. Wonderful, wonderful cause. There'll be a link to that in the description below this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify, there'll be links in the description down there. The other thing to also very publicly announce, I think I talked about it on stream the other week, all the money that we make from the FMT Patreon for June and July will also be donated to the cause. So if you are on the fence about signing up to our Patreon, we do have one. It's in our Linktree description. If you're on Kev's fence, he'll push you in the direction of Patreon. It's dead good. You get early episodes. You get bonus content when extra bits and pieces get filmed and created. That goes up there as well. You can get it for £1 a month. So those are available. Higher subscriptions are available, and some people have gone for them, which is crazy to me. But £1 a month, every penny we make from Patreon for June and July goes straight to the cause as well. So if you're thinking about doing it, why not do it now? It's the best time to do it. I am so excited about this. The fact that it's 20 days away is incredible. Get to spend the day with Kev, get to spend the day with Callum and Jeb and the wider FN community, fans, whoever it may be. Look, this is how excited I am. My bloody boots are here. I've got my boots. I'm so ready. honestly, special moments for me. No, it's going to be wonderful. So if you can come 29th of July, Arbor Park, Slough, you should come. I would wholeheartedly encourage you to come. If you can't come, watch it on stream. If you can't watch it on stream, that's also cool. I'm not your dad. Can't make you do things, but I would wholeheartedly recommend that you do so. There we are. I am excited.
And let us know if you're coming, just for the sake of it.
Oh, yes, gosh, please. Let us know. Let us know. Tweet us. Great. Comment on this video. Just skywriting. Hop on the Discord. Send us a postcard. Whatever it is, communicate with us through the medium of dance. If I see somebody outside my window,
what we do on the pod all the time.
Physical.
They're coming to the podcast. Brilliant. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. It's what we want. Good. Fellas,
yes,
I'm very conscious that Kev has a meal to go to this afternoon. So on that basis, I don't know about the two of yous, but I reckon that's a podcast.
I agree wholeheartedly in a very, very succinct way.
Perfect. Right, just before we sign off, Callum, where can the people find you making that delicious Slough content and just being a really, really nice human being?
You can find me over on YCallum on Twitch. YCallum _ on Twitter, and dare I say YCallum _ on Threads, dare I chuck that one out there.
Wow, look at you being all hip and happening.
Look at you, you've done it, you've gone cross-platform, you big media beast, you.
We might even get promoted from the League One this week, so it's looking good. Hypothetically, we could be in the Championship.
Hypothetically. We all know that that works.
There's tales to tell you next week, boys. There's tales to tell you.
Kev, yes, if I wanted to watch you making your way home on Twitch, where can I do so?
You can definitely find me making my content on my way home at FM Llama on Twitch every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and also on the FM Llama YouTube channel and the Manager's Seat YouTube channel as well. That's where you could definitely find me, the United City FM, making my content on FM Llama's channel. Definitely.
Perfect. Perfect. And what a place to be. What a place to be making your content on Llama's channel. What a guy. What a guy. Bloody love Llama. He's so nice. As for me, if you want to watch me doing Scandinavian football things, you can do so. twitch.tv/RichOwensFM. I will be doing streaming on there. As Callum quite rightly points out, in terms of social media, FMT, we are also now on Threads. It's at FMT Pod. And according to Jeb, he's also made us a TikTok, which, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, we've all got podcast privilege. All four members of FMT are 24. But if I wasn't 24 and I was 38, I would feel far too old to have a TikTok account. So that's a Jebaroo thing. He can
we're so
do
hip.
Social
media. We are so hip.
We're hop. We are.
The world scares me, Rich. The world
isn't
scares
it terrifying?
Me.
Isn't it terrifying? I'm never going outside again. It's gross.
People talk about threads. I thought they were talking about their clothes. I don't know what's going on.
Exactly. It's a mystery, isn't it?
All I know is I've picked up a really big Twitch over the last little what
the biggest of Twitches. And finally, if you're watching this on YouTube and you haven't already pressed subscribe, please press subscribe. We are 21 subscribers away from the four of us getting together and recording an a cappella version of the Football Manager theme tune. We promised we would do that when we hit 300 subs. Make it happen.
Wouldn't Please it be useful it to happen in the next 20 days? That would be helpful, wouldn't it? And
then it would be dead useful. If in the next 20 days we can do that, that would possible, be really, really helpful. Yeah, it's almost like we might need some walk-on music or theme music for a live event that's happening at the end of this month. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. I didn't realise how much I missed this last week until we've done it today. So, Kev, Callum, thank you very much for your time, boys. It's been
pleasure.
An absolute
thank
privilege,
you.
As always. And most importantly, thank you. The beautiful audience for listening, for watching, however you've consumed this podcast. We appreciate you, and please keep doing it, because if you don't, I'd probably just meet up with these boys for a chat on a Sunday anyway. So you do you, boo. That very succinctly wraps up another episode of Football Manager Therapy. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye bye.